This month is Chodesh Av, and very often in the month of Av, at least in the beginning of the month of Av, we put a great focus on Tisha B'Av and the Avelus, and something that often gets forgotten about is the monthly obligations that we have at the beginning of every month, and one of those is the mitzvah of Kiddush Levana. So there's a major question: what do we do about Kiddush Levana before Tisha B'Av? The Vilna Gaon writes on his commentary on Shulchan Aruch, he doesn't see any reason why Kiddush Levana should be delayed more than it otherwise would have in any other month. And therefore he says, the same way that we try to do Kiddush Levana as early as possible in a regular month, mitzvah haba liyadcha al tach mitzena, a person who has the opportunity to perform a mitzvah should do it as soon as possible. So too says the Vilna Gaon, that's what we do in this month as well. We say it as soon as we have the opportunity to do so. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, even if you follow the opinion of the Vilna Gaon that you say Kiddush Levana as usual, he says he still thinks it might be inappropriate to dance after Kiddush Levana as we normally would, because after all it's the 9 days and we shouldn't be mesameach with the dancing as we otherwise would have. So why is it that the prevailing minhag of most communities is that we push off Kiddush Levana, that we do not follow the minhag of the Vilna Gaon? Where does that come from and what is it based on? So the truth is it comes from an earlier source before the Vilna Gaon, which was the Rama. The Rama writes both in Hilchos Yom Kippur as well as in Hilchos Tisha B'Av. So this is found both in Siman Tav Chav Vav, as well as in Siman Tav Kuf Nun Aleph, where the Mechaber tells us as follows: Ein Mekadshin Es Halavana Kodem Tisha B'Av. One is not supposed to do Kiddush Levana before Tisha B'Av. Velo Kodem Yom Kippurim, and one is also not supposed to say Kiddush Levana before Yom Kippur. Uva Matzah Yom Kippurim. However, here we draw a distinction between Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. Right after Yom Kippur is over, right after we conclude the fast, immediately Mekadshin Osa, we are Mekadish Levana immediately. Da'az shruyim b'simcha, because at that moment after Yom Kippur is over, we are in a state of happiness. We have just been granted a mechila. Avalo b'matzoi Tisha B'Av. As we know, the Gemara says, the Tisha B'Av tragedy continued on until Yud Ba'av as well. And really, we should be fasting a second day as well, but we wouldn't be able to fast 2 days in a row. And therefore, we assume one should not recite the Kiddush Levana after Tisha B'Av until after Tisha B'Av is complete, and until after the day after Tisha B'Av is complete as well, till the tragedy is considered to be over. What's that all about? Who said you have to be besimcha when you recite Kiddush Levana? So the Magen Avraham writes there that it would seem that one is not allowed to recite Kiddush Levana when in a state of personal or communal mourning. And in fact, the Mishneh Berurah discusses as well, what if a person, Rachmana Litzlan, a person is sitting Shiva, and it happens to be the beginning of the month, now it was Rosh Chodesh, should we assume that they should go out from the Shiva home, or maybe from the Shiva home itself, should they recite Kiddush Levana during the week of Shiva, or perhaps if there are another few nights after the Shiva is going to be over, maybe we should suggest that they wait. And he discusses, maybe they should wait, because after all, the same way the Rama writes here, when the Jewish community as a whole is in a state of mourning before Tisha B'Av, we do not recite Kiddush Levana, so too when a person is in their own tragic state of mourning, they also should refrain from reciting Kiddush Levana. Now that's only granted that you assume there's going to be an opportunity to say it after the Shiva is completed. That's not always the case. Let's say sometimes you have a rainy season, sometimes it's cloudy outside, rainy outside, you're concerned that the forecast after the Shiva is not going to allow you to do that, then obviously we would say, do it in the middle of Shiva. But the question is, where does this whole idea come from? Who said you have to be besimcha just because you're saying Kiddush Levana? What is so exciting about Kiddush Levana? And Rav Soloveitchik suggested as follows. Rav Soloveitchik had a very famous thesis that he developed, and that was based on a Gemara in Chagiga Daf Hei, where the Gemara says, Ein atzivus lefnei hamakom. There is no such thing as a person being sad in the presence of the Shechina. Shenamar, because the Pasuk says, Hod v'hadu lefanav. It's a Pasuk we say in Psukah deZimra. Hod v'hadu lefanav. We have tremendous glory in the presence of God. Oz v'chedva b'mekomo, we're supposed to be in a sense of satisfaction, a sense of happiness when we are in his place. And therefore, Rav Soloveitchik said, you see from here, that is always the way a person's reaction is supposed to be. A person's supposed to feel in a state of simcha whenever they are in the presence of the Shechina. This is why he suggests, the Gemara says in Moed Katan Daf Yudalid, Kohen Gadol b'chal hashana keregel l'kuli alma. A Kohen Gadol, even if he loses his closest of relatives, is not noeg avelus. And the question is, why? Why shouldn't he be noeg avelus like everybody else? He also lost a mother, a father, a brother, a sister. Why should we assume that it's keregel dami? Why should we assume that the Kohen Gadol, the entire year, is like all the rest of us on a yamtiv? The same way we would not observe avelus on a yamtiv, so to the Kohen Gadol never observes avelus throughout the course of the year. Why not? It's not yamtiv throughout the year for him. So why is it that he doesn't observe Avelos? The answer of Soloveitchik suggested is because the Rambam said that Kvodo v'sefarto shel HaKohen Gadol, the glory of the Kohen Gadol is if he spends his entire day and night in the Beis HaMikdash, in the presence of the Shekhinah. And since the Kohen Gadol has that opportunity to be in the presence of the Shekhinah, he has to always be in a state of simcha, in a state of excitement, in a state of joy, because he's in the close proximity to the Shekhinah. And because of that, we assume Kohen Gadol kol hashana keregel dami. To him, the entire year is like one long yantif, because to him, he's always having the opportunity to express his relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam, and that is something he feels all the time. This is why on yantif, we do not have any avelus that takes place, that takes effect. Why is that? Because on Yom Tov we have to be in a state of simcha, v'samachta b'chagecha, and Avelus is the opposite of that. On Yom Tov we have the opportunity to be in the presence of the Shekhinah, and therefore we are not able to be sad. So why is it that Shabbos we have Shiva, but on Yom Tov we do not observe Shiva? And don't say the answer is because otherwise we wouldn't be able to have a Shiva, because there's always a Shabbos in the middle, so if Shabbos would always break a Shiva, there would never be 7 days. That's not the answer. The answer of Soloveitchik said is because on Shabbos we don't have this mitzvah of Simcha. Only on Yom Tov do we have an obligation of Simcha. We have to be in a state of joy on Yom Tov. And therefore, because on Yom Tov we have this obligation of Simcha, it cannot be a situation where Avelus is going to be mandated on the very same day where you have an obligation to be Mesameach. So why do we find this distinction between Shabbos and Yom Tov? Why is it that on Shabbos there is no Chi of Simcha, whereas on Yom Tov there is an obligation to be Mesameach? And to that, Reb Soloveitchik said the answer is as well, that on Yom Tov we have the opportunity to be in the presence of the Shekhinah because we are Ola Regel. Yom Tov is our chance to go out and visit in the abode of the Shekhinah itself, and that should make a person feel the highest levels of Simcha. This is why we have an obligation only on Yom Tov, v'samachta b'chagecha, because Yom Tov we are afforded the opportunity to visit in the presence of the Shekhinah, and that should always put a person at a sense of ease. So you'll ask, what about Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? The Achronim have a major discussion. Is there an obligation to be mesameach on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? Do we say v'samachta b'chagecha applies to that as well? Major discussion in the Shagas Aryeh and others. How do we look at Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? On the one hand, it's a very frightening, a very scary day. On the other hand, after all, it is a Yom Tov. We do say Kiddush on Rosh Hashanah, we do drink wine, we do eat meat on Rosh Hashanah, Lech Alcha B'Simcha Lachmecha. So how do you view our perspective toward Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Said of Soloveitchik, the answer is the very same. On Rosh Hashanah, we are in a state of Simcha because the Gemara says that Tkiyas Shofar brings us to a situation of Kilifnim Dami. It's as if we're in the presence of the Ribono Shel Olam. As we blow the Shofar, that in some way brings us closer to the Ribono Shel Olam. Yom Kippur, as we know, we have a Mechilas Avonos. So Yom Kippur gets rid of that Mechitza, of that partition that is put up between the Jewish people and the Ribono Shel Olam, because now we're on a clean slate. Now we have the opportunity to be close like we were before we made all these mistakes. And therefore, Seder of Soloveitchik, it makes sense why the Shulchan Aruch assumes there's an obligation of Simcha on Rosh Hashanah, on Yom Kippur as well, because what always precipitates the feeling of Simcha is a person to be in the presence of the Shekhinah. And Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur give us that opportunity to once again be in the close proximity of the Shekhinah. That should be something that should evoke a reaction of Simcha, and therefore we assume there is an obligation of Simcha. So take that back here. When we're now in a period of Avelus, as we mourn the loss of our relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam, as we feel like we are so far away from the Shekhinah that we're supposed to be close to, this is not an appropriate time to feel simcha at all. And the simcha that we're feeling at different times of the year is something that we absolutely cannot feel now, because now we're feeling the intense pain of not being close with the Ribono Shel Olam. Now we're feeling how far away we are and how far our whole community has gone from the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So during the opportunity of Kiddush Levana, when the Gemara tells us that the Shekhinah is there, the Shekhinah is present at the time that we recite Kiddush Levana. That's what the Gemara says in Sanhedrin Daf Mem Zayin. If we assume the Shekhinah is there, it means we have to be in a state of Simcha. And therefore, the Rama says, you don't have the ability to be B'Simcha at a time like this. And this is why we generally assume that Kiddush Levana should wait until after Tisha B'Av, because we want to make sure we are in a state of Simcha. There is a fascinating question asked by one of the Achronim who has a commentary on the Rambam. And that question is, the Gemara says in Baba Basra, who is the author of Sefer Eicha? Who wrote Eicha? Yirmiyahu. So we're told that Yirmiyahu Navi is the one who wrote the Sefer Eicha. The Gemara actually calls it Kinos. We call, colloquially, Kinos something else. But Eicha's original name was Kinos. So it was something that was lamentations. It was very sad. It was a nevuah that was not a positive nevuah at all, and it was given over by Yirmiyahu. Now, if we know the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos that the only time the Shechina can rest upon a Navi is when he's in a state of simcha, only when he's in a state of happiness and rejoicing, then how is it that Yirmiyahu was able to have a nevuah about all the terrible atrocities of Eicha that were going to take place, about all this calamity, of all this destruction? How did the nevuah actually take effect if he was in a time where he probably was in a very somber mood as a result of that which he was hearing? So one of the Mefarshim asks, how is it that that nevuah ever was able to take place? And he answers the following. He says that Hanavim HaKdoshim, the same way that we think about many tragedies in life and we say to ourselves, it makes us so depressed, it makes us so sad, but he said that's not the way the Nevi'im thought about it. Hanavim HaKdoshim, the great Nevi'im that we had in many, many generations ago, Kishanivu Puranusan Shal Yisrael, when they gave over the prophecies of all the terrible things that perhaps were going to come upon the Jewish people. Afki Liba Mayanenach Mitzad Saris Yisrael, of course they had a hardened heart when they were thinking about all the terrible things that were going to happen. Bechol Zos, but even though that was going on, and even though they were experiencing everything that God was telling them was going to happen, Heima Mitzad in Yane Atzmam, they still felt a sense of joy, a sense of elation. Why? Because they knew the Ribbono Shel Olam is still with the Jewish people. And there is nothing that can make a person happier. You can suffer as much as it may be, but if a person feels the Ribbono Shel Olam is always with them, there is nothing that can bring about a greater sense of simcha than that thought alone. And Yirmiyahu HaNavi, yes, he's prophesizing about all the terrible things that are going to take place in the times of the Churban. But that very same Yirmiyahu HaNavi was also able to be in a state of simcha at the very same time, because he understood that this is something that the Ribbono Shel Olam al yazveinu v'al yitcheinu, he will never leave us, he will never abandon us. The Ribbono Shel Olam is always with us. And that alone is something that was able to make him feel that sense of simcha. The Yerushalmi has a comment in Meseches Tainus. Rav Asher Weiss once told me a pshat in this Yerushalmi in the name of Rabbi Sachar Teichtal. He was one of the great tzaddikim who wrote a lot about, he was killed in the Shoah, but he wrote a lot about Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, and he tried to encourage people to go to Eretz Yisrael. He wrote the famous Sefer Eim HaBanim Smecha. So he writes in the Sefer Eim HaBanim Smecha, if I'm not mistaken, that the Yerushalmi writes, Amar Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, Im Yomar Lecha Adam, if someone will come to you in these days of Galus and say, Eichan hu Elokecha, where is your God? How could it be that your God has let all of this happen? And they question whether or not our God is actually interested in taking care of his people or ever bringing a redemption to us. Amar lo, you should respond to that person who poses such a question, that God is Bekrach HaGadol Shebe'edom. What does it mean that he's in the Krach HaGadol Shebe'edom? He's in the big tower in Edom, in Rome? What exactly does that mean? Suggests Rav Teichtal what it means is, you see terrible things that are happening. You understand that the Jewish people are going through terrible gullahs and terrible atrocities are being committed against them. You tell that person who wonders where is God that he is residing in Krach HaGadol Shebe'edom. He's in the capital city of those who are destroying the Jewish people. He's there as well. He has not left us. And yes, he may not be in his Beis HaMikdash, but he's traveling along with us. And he has never forgotten about the Jewish people, and he never will. And that's what Rav Teichtal, in the very painful days of the Shoah, was able to say. As he was suffering through all that was going on in those days, he was still able to say, this is what the Yerushalmi teaches us, and this is what it means. When you think about one of the hallmarks, one of the centerpieces of our davening every day, it's without a doubt the Kedusha that we recite. We need a minyan. It's Dvarim Shebekdusha. It's something the Gemara tells us gives such an aliyah to the Ribbono Shel Olam when we, as 10 men together, say Kedusha. So Kedusha really has two central parts, and one of those is the first pasuk from Sefer Yeshaya, where the Navi Yeshaya says, Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzivakos. That's number one. The second component to Kedusha is from the Navi Yecheskel, where he says, Baruch Kivod Hashem Mimekomo. Those are the two focal points of the Kedusha that we say a number of times every day. Sir Rav Asher Weiss once told me, maybe it means the following. The Navi Yeshaya is living at a time of the obvious presence of God. He's living at a time of the Beis HaMikdash, at a time where everybody was able to feel and understand that God was with them. And he says, Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzivakos. I can point to it. It's almost palpable. I can understand the Ribbono Shel Olam is here and he's holy and he's with us. Those were in the days of Yeshaya HaNavi. Yecheskel is the one who lives through the time of Churban Beis HaMikdash. He lives through the time when there's destruction, when the Jewish people are kicked out of the land, when they're not able to see and experience the presence of God that they used to feel with such an obvious feeling at a time of a Beis HaMikdash. And Yechezkel says, even at this moment, even at a time of a Churban Beis HaMikdash, at a time when you think everything is falling apart, and the Jewish people are in such a state of decline, even at a moment like this, I still have the right to say, Baruch Kivod Hashem Imekomo. Yes, he's in his own makom, he's in his own place, and we may not see him the same way we saw his obvious presence earlier, but we still take the time out to thank the Ribono Shel Olam and to say, we understand that you will never leave us, that you will always be a presence in our lives, and that you are somebody who leads and guides the way the Jewish people are going to live and navigate through this earth and through this galus. And this is something we need to remember whenever we experience this time of year and Chodesh Av, and we think about what it means to us that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, and how depressing it is that the Ribono Shel Olam is not with us anymore the same way he used to have his obvious presence with us. But never to forget at the same time that although we are depressed at this time of year and we may not say the Kiddush Levana that we normally would say at this time of year because we are not in a state of simcha, because we are not in a state of closeness with the Ribono Shel Olam, but we always remind ourselves that he is Bikrach HaGadol Shabiromi. The Ribono Shel Olam is here and he always will be here. The Ribono Shel Olam is Baruch Kavod Hashem Imekomo. Yes, we might not see it as obviously as we otherwise would have, and it takes a little bit more effort on our part to dig it out and to understand and appreciate what that relationship means to us today, but at the same time, it is something we can never forget, that the Ribono Shel Olam is always going to be here. Ki lo yitosh Hashem amo. He will never leave his people. He will never abandon them. He will always make sure that he is there for us, and that we feel his presence, even minimally, that we understand that he is here along through all the stops in the exile, the Yud Bey, the Mem Bey's Masos, all the different places that we go, and we pray and we hope that we will have the opportunity once again to experience that obvious and most glaring presence of the Shechina of Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzevakos, where we're all able to say, is Hine Elokeinu Zeh, we can point to the Ribono Shel Olam and say, this is what it means to us, this is what it is, and this is so much of what we have aspired to throughout all the generations of our very bitter and painful galus.